Hey teachers, if you're tired of not knowing how to create your lessons that reach EL newcomers in your classroom in a way that your content is actually accessible to them, and you no longer want to be limited by the constant push to move your ELs forward without concrete understanding behind why simple accommodations in your already existing lessons make all the difference for the newcomers, I have something exciting to share with you. I have compiled every masterclass I have ever recorded on how to teach and reach English learners in a regular education classroom. I am talking strategies, how-tos, and ready-made resources, and have created a digital masterclass library called Light the Way to EL Teaching Success, where you can get instant access to 10 practical and actionable videos, 8 done-for-you lessons, and 1 professional development certificate for 3 hours of your time. If you are looking for practical PD that you can do on your own time and gain all the knowledge you need about teaching English learners from the comfort of your home, Light the Way to EL Teaching Success Digital Masterclass Library is for you. To learn more and to join, click the link in the show notes, and I cannot wait to see you inside. You're listening to episode 112 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. When it comes to teaching English learners, some things come naturally for EL teachers, while regular education teachers might be wondering how they can reach their multilingual students. I have several episodes about teaching all ELs, but I wanted to distill this information into even more practical and really actionable advice that all teachers can take whenever they have an English learner in their classroom. In today's episode, I will be talking about 5 non-negotiables for integrating ELs in your regular education classroom, no matter what subject or what grade level you teach. They may be new to you, or you may have already heard them many times, but as we say, the more times you hear it, the more you internalize the information, and the more it can become natural to you to implement. Are you ready? Let's get to the episode. Hello and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grosslis, otherwise known as Simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. As mentioned in the introduction, today, I want to chat a bit about how you can integrate English learners into your classroom more seamlessly and ensure they understand what you teach and that they are engaged. I have shared some of these tips in greater detail in previous episodes, so be sure to check them out. I will put the links in the show notes for your convenience, but some of them I wanted to draw your attention even more to. All right, let's get to it. I have 5 non-negotiables for integrating ELs in a regular education classroom. The first one is use proficiency levels. There are 5 million multilingual learners in the U.S. schools. All of these students come with varying proficiency levels from varying backgrounds, and therefore, to reach them in your classroom and ensure equitable access to education, it is very important for the teachers to know their students' English language proficiency level. So what is exactly a proficiency level? So, language proficiency is the person's ability to communicate and comprehend information in a certain language. For example, if someone is proficient in a language, they're able to use it with ease in both written and oral form and feel comfortable in applying it in real-life situations, which are typically spontaneous. For example, I can read, write, and communicate in both English and my native Lithuanian freely, and you could say I have high proficiency level in those two languages. Someone who is at a little bit of a lower language proficiency level might struggle to communicate due to lack of vocabulary and due to developing syntax. However, chances are they understand the ideas that are spoken and discussed fairly well. It is the expressive language that is a work in progress, and also retaining the information, especially if there are some parts of the topic that they're not entirely sure what it means. For example, I understand Russian very well, I read it fairly, and I write so-so. In communication, however, even though I can carry a conversation, especially if it is a low-stakes one like at a grocery store, I sometimes lack vocabulary or use incorrect sentence structure or inflections. A newcomer student's proficiency level is called entering. That is what the WIDA consortium calls it. If your state is using a different way to measure the and monitor student language proficiency, it could be called something else. But basically, at this stage, the students are just learning to figure out the sounds of the language, the words, and put them into simple sentences, and rely heavily on context, visual clues, and body language. I talk about proficiency levels in greater detail in episode 98 called EL Newcomer to Experienced Multilingual, A Journey Through Proficiency Levels. But the point of the matter is that without knowing where your multilingual student is at proficiency-wise, you won't be able to meet them where they're at and help them learn your content. To find out the proficiency level of the students in your classroom, reach out to the EL specialist at your school. They are typically a wealth of information, and especially if you are newer to having multilingual students in your classroom, they should provide you with a lot of information. Non-negotiable number two is integrate language skills with content. We use language every day, and at school we teach students to read, write, and communicate to express ideas in your subject area classroom. There are so many nuances of using a language that we don't think about on a daily basis, and also when we're native speakers of that language. I certainly do not stop and catch myself thinking, that was a nice way to use the perfect tense, the past perfect tense, or that word I just used fit the context absolutely perfectly. I wonder what the synonyms would be. We don't think that, right? But as a language teacher, I'm keenly aware of all that goes into word formation, sentence structure, tenses, aspects, and vocabulary building. There are four ways in which we typically use the language. These are so-called language functions or uses. So these functions can be found across all content areas, and they are to inform, to narrate, to argue, and to explain. In each of the subject classes, students are engaged in using those functions, and they are required to be able to inform, narrate, argue, or explain their points as they relate to the subject matter. In addition, students need to be able to do both in writing and in oral communication. We cannot assume that English learners, A, know what is expected of them when they see an assignment asking them to explain something or argue, and B, are able to manipulate the language in the same way as native speakers. Therefore, multilingual learners need to be taught how to work with each of those language functions and what language in general goes into them in expressing an opinion, in telling a story, in proving a fact. And this is where the content and language objectives for the lesson come in. The what, which is the content, and the how, which is the language of the lesson. If we want the student to explain the causes of a historical event, for example, we need to teach them how to use the language to be able to do that, whether it is the correct usage of past tense, which will require them to remember some past tense verb endings, regular and irregular, or maybe we want to make sure that they use a specific sentence structure, or maybe we want to see that they can do, can express themselves using a particular vocabulary. These are the things that we need to think about when we are planning our lessons. Non-negotiable number three is adjust your speech. Think about it. Have you ever been on a vacation in a foreign country? Or have you ever been, if you're not foreign country, but in a situation where it seems that people are speaking a language that you don't understand? You don't necessarily need to leave the country to find this situation. It feels like everybody around you speaks extremely fast, and you cannot keep up with the beginning and end of the sentences and ideas. It is interesting at first, it's surprising, but then you likely shut down and become frustrated because you're not able to express yourself. So here are several ways that you can adjust your speech to help your students grasp what you are teaching. Slow down. Slower is better for beginner English learners. It doesn't mean to slow down to the point where it sounds artificial, because that would just not feel right to either you or the student. But when you catch yourself to slow down, it will bring awareness to you just how fast you speak and how many words, most of them really not necessary, we use in our speech. Sentence structure. Keep in mind your sentence structure. It is better to give important information of what you want to say and what you want the students to do, which means simple sentences have the most impact. Contractions are difficult for beginner ELs to understand, and so are negative sentences. Instead of saying what not to do, give instructions of what the students should do, what you want them to do. Now, when you begin to pay attention to your own speech, you will be surprised just how many idiomatic expressions we all use in our daily conversations, whether in social or academic settings. Keep in mind that EL students, especially newcomers, will likely not know even simple phrases like figure something out or move on, which we use every single day in every single class, multiple times. So whenever you notice, again, you know, you don't have to take any drastic measures, but just notice whenever you notice that you're using them, see if you can reword yourself or show the student what you want them to do. Just simply adjusting is already the first step. And of course, repeat, repeat, repeat. You may need to repeat yourself more than typical when you are communicating with English learners, and that is totally normal. If you see that the first sentence didn't land, see if you can shorten it, add in gestures and visuals, write it out, translate it, use all the tools in your repertoire to reach them. And over time, you will find the students are learning fast and you will have to repeat yourself less. Non-negotiable number four, teaching essential information. I have talked about this before. I will continue saying it, and I will probably die on this hill. Whenever someone is learning a new language, especially newcomers, throwing all the information at them in hopes that it will stick is overwhelming and ineffective. Think about all the things I have talked about in this episode alone. Student proficiency level. Integrating content with language, adjusting your speech, and that will give you an idea of what can be effective teaching of English learners. If you have a passage for the class to read, newcomers could extract pre-taught key terms and classify them instead of reading the entire text or translating it. You could ask students to only focus on one specific paragraph that is the most important in your class and in the text and essential to your lesson, and thus extract the necessary information. Again, depending on proficiency level, you might need to help them and to direct them, or if they are higher proficiency level, they will be able to do it by themselves. Students could underline words they know. They could answer simple yes-no questions. These are just the little tweaks. But when you plan your lesson with ELs in mind, look at your objectives and decide what is the most important thing you can teach them today. And you'll find that they learn both your content and the language. And non-negotiable number five is visuals. Using visuals with ELs, English learners is every EL teacher's mantra. As a visual person myself, I absorb information, especially if it is more abstract, better when there are images, charts, or illustrations included. By visuals, I don't mean just perfectly curated images, or just images that accompany your lesson. These are necessary and should be used without saying. What I'm I'm talking about is, again, being aware of where your student is at language-wise and foreseeing that there might be essential information that is not included in the textbook glossary that your students might not know. These are typically words that are used across content areas, for example, column, table, explore, or passage, or even much simpler concrete nouns such as ship, gate, or tray. You might need to find a Google image on the spot for better explanation, or you can draw it on the board or on paper for the student. Again, this could be a fun moment, especially if you're not very artistic in that regard, and students might laugh at you, but it's all learning experience, right? You can include charts, graphs, and timelines. Infographics are great too, but sometimes I found that they tend to have too much information. So see, if you're creating an infographic, don't overload it with too many words. Videos with closed captions, virtual tours, and online galleries are also visuals. When you are showing videos, if possible, the captions should be in students' first language, especially for newcomers. The ones that have been here for a longer period of time, the captions in English work well too. It's better, any video is better with captions than no captions. When you are in a social studies class, or really in any class, maps are essential. Your students likely haven't heard names of certain places in English, especially in the US, and might have no idea what you're talking about or why you're talking about it. So having maps in your classroom really doesn't require additional time for you to walk over and just point to a particular state or a country or a region. Another way to use visuals is to use illustrations such as graphic novels, cartoons, comics, to name just a few. You can use scaffolds such as labeled notes, responses to questions from videos you watch in class, graphic organizers, which you might need to teach how to use. And again, if you are asking an English learner to watch a video and answer questions at the same time, that is not an easy thing for them to do, and especially if the video is longer or very wordy or requires lots of retrieval of information, it would be better for you to provide them with the answers and then have them answer yes or no questions orally, for example. And you can also use technology and AI to generate images too. I use Adobe Firefly, or Canva has some features that help you create images from the instructions that you input. I hope you found these tips helpful and will use them in your teaching. And these five tips are truly non-negotiables to even begin moving your ELs forward. And that is all for today. I know that I talked a lot, so here are the five non-negotiables again. The first one is using proficiency levels, knowing where your student is at language-wise. Number two is integrating language skills with the content, the what and the how of your lesson, adjusting your speech. This includes slowing down, keeping your idioms in check, repeating what you want to say. Teaching just essential information is number four. And number five is using visuals. And that is all for today. As always, any questions or takeaways from this episode, send me a message on Instagram, shoot me an email. I'm always happy to hear from you. And if you are an EL teacher, make sure you share this episode with your colleagues. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do two things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at Simply Yeva ESL, Facebook Simply Yeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.